I'd like to thank Bishop McIntyre for being here with us today to celebrate the Eucharist with us. So today's gospel talks about this relationship that you and I are called to have with Christ, which is ultimately the source of our hope, which Peter speaks about in this second reading. A lot of what the scriptures talk about today is really joy and hope. Joy in that first reading from Acts of the Apostles, and hope in that second reading, and really where that hope is grounded, where is it rooted. El Evangelio de hoy nos habla de esta relación que tenemos con Jesús, a donde Jesús promete estar presente con nosotros a través de su Espíritu. Es nuestra relación con Jesús, que es la fuente de nuestra esperanza, a donde se va a enraizar nuestra esperanza. Dos palabras que las Escrituras hoy nos presentan son precisamente la alegría, el gozo y la esperanza, y a donde se encuentra la fuente de la alegría y de la esperanza en nosotros. Before I continue, I'd like to talk about a particular joy, and that's the joy that throughout these days, this particular week, in a lot of ways, a lot of our college and university graduates have celebrated their graduation. Certainly not what they had, imagined their graduation would look like. I myself celebrated graduation for St. Charles Seminary. It was done virtually. There were about maybe 6 or 7 people sitting in an auditorium. But you know what? Well, the beauty of it all is that the graduation was celebrated. And so I want to, in a particular way today, congratulate all our university and college graduates as they celebrate their accomplishments and now look forward with excitement and with joy to the next phase of their own journey as they begin now to put into practice and to use the knowledge and the gifts that they have received. So congratulations to our graduates and to their professors and their families who made this particular moment in their life a great day of joy for them. I'd like to point you this morning to that second reading from Peter, and I'd like to read the first couple of sentences. Beloved, Peter says to us, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. And so the question that rose to me, well, as I prayed this scripture in preparation for today, well, is the Lord of my heart? And who does he have to compete with? Because there are other lords with small letters that try to compete in our hearts. So is in reality the Lord of our hearts? What position does he occupy? Or are there other lords that occupy a lot of position too? Sanctify Christ as Lord of your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. Now that's an interesting concept. So if someone were to ask you, what is the reason for your hope? What would you say? How would you answer? Would it simply be, well, I tend to be a half cup full type of person. I'm an optimist. Well, I think Peter's speaking about something more than that. He's actually speaking about a hope, the reason of our hope, actually rooted in the fact that the Lord is Lord of our heart. And that's why he starts off like that. Sanctify the Lord in your heart, the Lord of your heart. And so the reason of our hope is a lot more than just mere optimism or just a hope or a desire that things will work out well and everything will be fine. That's kind of hope with small letters, a human type of hope, understanding of hope. It's actually, for the Christian, a lot more profound than that. Remember, you're talking to Peter. We're talking here about Peter. And Peter's hope is rooted in the fact that he came to encounter Christ again on the shores of Galilee. The risen Christ, the one that he had betrayed, denied by his betrayal. That's what Peter did. Remember who this guy was. He betrayed Jesus by his denial, even though he was told that he was going to do it. He was forewarned. And his response to that is, oh, I'll never do that. You don't have to worry about that. He said to Jesus, Jesus, you and I are good. I'll never do that. Never. But he did. And so this Peter encounters the risen Christ at the shore of Galilee and has this incredible encounter. And there was the source of his hope. That if Christ could go past his own denial and his betrayal of him, then if Christ could rise from the dead, frankly, then there is the source of our hope. There is the reason for our hope. These last couple of months now, over a couple of months, has certainly been a challenge to all of us and our hope as we saw this pandemic grow and cases multiply and so sadly had to face the reality that people lost their lives as masks in our area had to be suspended. And I hear from people every day. There was a group today, I think, outside joining us in prayer, hoping, and because there is a longing. There is an incredible longing in all of our hearts, and they represent, those people that stand out there today, they represent, you know, hundreds of thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people that have discovered this deep appreciation and longing for the Eucharist. You know, I was watching the news the other day, and one of our local media broadcasters was speaking about, and she said it just like this. I realized how much I longed for the Eucharist. This was on a local newscast, it really brought tears to my eyes to hear this young reporter say that. And that has been the case maybe for many of you that listen to us today. Thousands, tens of thousands of people listen to us today through the streaming of Mass. This longing for, this hoping for the moment in which our churches will be filled again. And it's coming. It's coming. You know, Father Gill, who also serves as director of worship for the diocese, along with a group of people have formed a task force, and that's precisely what they are spending a lot of time on right now. They are spending the time for the moment, hopefully soon, when civil authorities gives us the green light to begin to populate our churches and be able to celebrate the Eucharist publicly. And there is no greater longing in all of us, including me, to be able to do that. But the fact is that what is, right? For the last 2.5 months, we haven't been able to do that. And we had to find ways in our own personal spiritual lives to find an encounter with the source of our hope. So what is the reason for our hope, for your hope? How would you answer that question? The last 8 weeks, now, yeah, we see some light at the end of the tunnel. We're seeing people venturing out a little bit more cautiously. but venturing out. We're happy to see that the shore is beginning to open up and people are beginning to gravitate down there. They're cautious, they're careful. Of course they need to be. So there's signs of hope, right? All around us as we seem to now see some light at the end of the tunnel. But because hope does not disappoint, I know that great things has also happened to all of us. So as we see light at the end of the tunnel, I would ask you, what has been happening to you in the tunnel? What has been going on in your life in the tunnel as you're walking towards the light at the end of the tunnel? What have you been able to experience and see about yourself, about your relationship with the Lord, who is the source and the grounding of our hope, about your relationship with each other? What has been happening to you in this tunnel that now we see the light at the end of the tunnel? But we've been in the tunnel. What have you seen? What has the Lord been talking to you deep within your hearts in the last couple of months? A greater appreciation, absolutely, for all of us of the Eucharist that we had. For those of us who come to church all the time, we've had readily every day, if you wanted to, multiple times a day in churches, there's masses for everybody to choose every Sunday. And all of a sudden that was kind of taken away from us by the circumstances of our world. But I know it has served to heighten our appreciations of this incredible gift that we had so readily, that we were so familiar with, and now we have a reporter saying how she longs for the Eucharist publicly in a newscast. What has been happening to you in the tunnel as we've been going through this? A tunnel in which now we can see light at the end of it, cautiously, prudently, but we see it. As you look at that light, don't forget what happened in the tunnel, because that was also grace. That was also blessing. As we all now begin to experience the joy of being able to gather with people again. People are doing it outside on their lawns now and in their backyards because it's not as cold anymore. And they do it socially distant, which is wonderful because that's where our human hearts are, right? We're people for others, you know. That's the way we relate to the world around us, and it's beginning to happen. But as all this begins to happen, remember what has happened to you, to me, to all of us as we walk this tunnel. Because that was also grace. As we encountered Christ, the risen Christ in this Easter season. You see, Christ, as he did with Peter on the shores of Galilee, he also came to our shores. Maybe dressed up in this whole circumstance and this whole pandemic and this whole stuff. Yeah. Back then it was on surrounded, dressed up in the reality of his time, his passion and his death and his resurrection. And so that Christ has come and he's encountered us to give us the gift of joy and the gift of hope. Because ultimately, it really only is in him, in Christ, where the source of our hope lies. God bless you.